The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Star Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
Good morning, everyone. A shout out to all of our listeners in Denver, where Celeste Headley is this morning. Good morning, Celeste.
I am out here with the very good people of KUVO, KVJZ in Denver, Colorado.
A great station. So, you know, what do you think the headline was in the Zuckerberg household this week? The fact that he made the 400 richest American as a 26-year-old Harvard grad who created Facebook. He's on the Forbes 400 list.
The social network movie is being released.
Right. Or maybe he hated those headlines, which is why he decided to write a $100 million check to the Newark, New Jersey public school system today. It's going to be officially announced on the Oprah show. That certainly changes the headlines, don't you think?
Absolutely.
You know, billionaires do
maybe
this kind of thing. I mean, he's worth, let me look here. He's worth $6.9 billion, which is tiny compared
that's a lot of change.
To Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, who are on the top of the list. They're, you know, in the $50 billion category. But listen to another billionaire talking. This is Ted Turner. We actually played this at the top of the hour. But this is Ted Turner at the Stanford Business School, sort of explaining why he donated $1 billion back in 1998 to the United Nations. Listen.
Most people want to help other people. Who in this room would like to bomb somebody? Not one person. How many people want to help other people? Yeah, that's right. That's humanity. That's why don't we start acting like human beings?
It's hard not to get infected by that tone, don't you think, Celeste?
Well, because I think he's right.
He is right, but there's something about being a billionaire where it's just all so simple. We got to help people. We're going to write some big checks. It's all going to get fixed, and we're going to help do it. And to explain what that's all about for the mind of a billionaire and the tradition of these kinds of very big gifts that have been made down through the years, the $100 million gift to the Newark school system just being the latest, is Robert Frank, Wall Street Journal wealth reporter and author of Richestan. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
So where would you put the Mark Zuckerberg gift? We've talked already this morning about the challenges that the New Jersey school systems face there, which this money is designed to address. But take us into the mind of a billionaire like Mark Zuckerberg. What are they trying to accomplish here?
Well, there aren't that many billionaires like Mark Zuckerberg in some sense, in that he's very young. He's 26 years old. He's already worth $6.9 billion. So just put that in context. The added wealth this year, that he earned, he was already a billionaire going into this year. The added wealth amounts to $500,000 per hour that he earned in added wealth over the past year. So there just aren't that many people on the planet that have earned so much at such a young age. And I think aside from the wealth, he's been in sort of a state of shock at how much publicity and negative publicity he's gotten recently. As you mentioned before, Celeste mentioned this movie, which depicts him in a terrible light. And nobody in Silicon Valley likes to be outed as a super rich guy who brags about his wealth. And so I think this wealth, he said at one point, I'm embarrassed to be on this list. So I think this Newark gift is clearly a PR strategy in large part, or at least in part, to deflect some of that criticism and attention on his money and his personality.
But there's a daunting, intimidating quality to the amount of money that you get when you suddenly have way more money than you could spend in your lifetime under almost any circumstances. And I'm wondering, even beyond PR, there's something about the definition of a billionaire, which is you're overwhelmed by the amount of money that you have. Listen to this fellow who won $159 million in the lottery, I believe in Pennsylvania. And his reaction, it really reminds me of Zuckerberg here.
I'm not going to buy anything. I'm going to give it all away. What can I buy with money that besides things that I don't need? And this that's happening, this is larger than anything that money could buy.
Now, that's just a, you know, penny ante lottery winner of $159 million giving it all away. What's the tradition for billionaires to be overwhelmed in this way, and it transforms their view of philanthropy and their sense of power?
Yeah, I mean, there's only so many yachts and Gulfstream jets and McMansions that you can buy. So at some point you realize that this money is not only going to last in your lifetime, not only your children's lifetime, but probably your grandchildren, great-grandchildren's lifetime. So you have a totally different perspective on time and money when you start to get to be a billionaire. And you also realize, well, what could I do that will continue not only, you know, be a good investment, but also sort of help shape the world. And so you've got Bill Gates and Warren Buffett out there with their giving pledge, where they're urging other billionaires to give, and that's been fairly successful. And you've got Mark Zuckerberg, who realizes, you know, there's no way he's ever going to spend this money, even at a young age, and it does help his PR value. So a lot of them turn to either politics or philanthropy as the way to continue enriching their lives or to provide some satisfaction beyond stuff, and also to direct their money. So you've got people like Bloomberg in politics and people like Gates and Buffett in philanthropy. Those tend to be the two avenues after you've made it that provide some satisfaction for these people.
Well, who's doing it well? I mean, can we look at it as somebody like Bill Gates and say, well, there's a philanthropist who's actually doing this effectively and smartly? Or is it generally, do billionaires end up throwing money at problems?
The problem is we really can't tell the results of philanthropy until long after they're gone. So, for instance, when John Rockefeller started his philanthropy, people were criticizing him, and it was only decades later that we realized how effective his philanthropy was at starting the Green Revolution in Mexico and eradicating various diseases like polio. Bill Gates has certainly made a lot of progress with education and healthcare in Africa and other places, but it's going to be a long time before we really know. All we do know is that he and Warren Buffett say they enjoy philanthropy. And look, I think when you ask why do billionaires give money, it's a combination of ego, it's a combination of tax breaks, let's be honest, and it's a combination of their genuine need to be recognized and also to make the world a better place. So I think Gates is certainly one of the most effective philanthropists in that he's very concerned about measuring what he's doing, accounting for the money, where it's going, and getting results.
And Robert Frank, Rockefeller really created modern philanthropy as an answer to the question, how am I going to leave a legacy other than being the most hated person in the world, which he was at the time he was giving. But also it was to answer the question, we have so much money, it's almost impossible to gauge how to do something effective. And really the answers to that question from John D. Rockefeller have been taken up, as you say, by Bill Gates in this era. And we'll just have to see. The test of time will show whether those were good investments or not. Robert Frank, thanks so much.
Thank you.
He's the Wall Street Journal's wealth reporter, the author of Richistan, sort of giving us a historical context in the sense of when billionaires write checks, what is the result?
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.